The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Salome, brought spices so that they might go and anoint him. Very early when the sun had risen, on the first day of the week, they came to the tomb. They were saying to one another, "Who will roll back the stone for us from the entrance to the tomb?" When they looked up, they saw that the stone had been rolled back. It was very large. On entering the tomb, they saw a young man sitting at the right side, clothed in a white robe, and they were utterly amazed. He said to them, "Do not be amazed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, the crucified. He has been raised. He is not here. Behold the place where they laid him. But go and tell his disciples and Peter, he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him, as he told you." The Gospel of the Lord. In the year of our Lord 2021, history will note that the most solemn celebration of our entire year began on April Fool's Day. The most solemn celebration of our entire year is bigger than just Easter. It's the entire sacred Triduum, Holy Thursday, Good Friday, Easter Sunday, a three-day-long prayer, and it began on April Fool's Day. Now, do you think there's a lesson in that someplace? Because I sure as heck do. I sure do. I had a friend back in the seminary who would walk through the streets of the city wearing the most provocative t-shirt I've ever seen. Jet black t-shirt, big bold lettering that read, "I am a fool for Christ." And when he walked past you on the back side of the shirt, it said, "Who are you a fool for?" The guy had no fear at all. But it reminds me of something that St. Paul said to the Corinthians. He said that the wisdom of this world thinks the ways of God are foolishness. The cross of Jesus Christ, St. Paul said, is foolishness to those who are headed to destruction. But for those who are being saved, it's the power of God and the wisdom of God. Take a closer look at that statement. The cross of the Lord, how on earth is that the power of God and the wisdom of God? I mean, what, from every worldly point of view, this was the worst of all possible ends to Jesus' life. Dying at the hands of his enemies, right? Scoffed and mocked until his last breath. The power of God. How in the world? Well, let me put it to you this way, okay? Suppose you had the chance to sit down and eat dinner with Jesus Christ himself. Now, just the two of you. How long do you think it would be before you began to ask the Lord some very probing questions? Questions like, "Hey, Lord, why is it that the bad guys always seem to win? And why is there evil in the first place? Did you cause that? And suffering, Lord, explain that one to me. I don't get it. Especially innocent suffering. And Lord, why is it that we have to die at all?" Well, at the Last Supper, the apostles asked Jesus all kinds of questions. And you know what? He didn't answer them. He only said this. He said, "When you see me again, you'll have no questions to ask of me." Well, they saw him, all right. They saw him betrayed by Judas Iscariot. railroaded through a kangaroo court in the dead of night, handed over to the power of the Roman army, beaten to within an inch of his life, before they nailed him to a cross, scoffed at the hands of his enemies. They saw him sealed in a stone-cold tomb, and they did not understand. But on Easter Sunday, Jesus appeared to his apostles. Now, they were locked up in a room, locked themselves in a room, because they were afraid that what happened to Jesus was going to happen to them next. Locked in a room. And Jesus walked straight through a locked door. Clearly different from the last time they'd seen him before. Luminous in glory, radiant in beauty, incapable of suffering or ever being killed again. And just like the Lord said, when they saw him again, they had no questions to ask. I like to imagine the apostles thinking to themselves, of course, how could death ever beat you? How could evil ever hope to defeat you? I like to imagine the apostles standing there looking at the risen Lord, their jaws on the floor, and Jesus shooting them a look as if to say, what? You didn't really think I was going to stay dead, did you? How is the cross the power of God? Because Easter proves God more powerful than evil, than sin, than death, even more powerful than hell itself. How on earth is the cross the wisdom of God? Well, do you know the difference between knowledge and wisdom? Knowledge, that's when you stand in possession of the facts. But wisdom is when you know what to do with your knowledge. And here's the wisdom. No matter what happens, you can always keep faith and hope, no matter how bad things get. Because the resurrection of Jesus from the dead means there's something stronger than any sadness, any disappointment, even stronger than death itself. It's the only wisdom you need. It's the only wisdom you need. Because think about this for just a moment, too. All of us here in this life, we're all dancing on a grave, so to speak. None of us knows how long we have, right? Nobody knows. Got a limited number of days. And whether you like it or not, sooner or later, we've all got an appointment with the Grim Reaper. We're all dancing on a grave. Hey, if there's not something beyond death, then nothing that we do matters. It's a subject for another homily someday. But if there's any hope in the world, it's got to be based in more than just a catchy slogan or some kind of vague assurance that everything's going to work out for the best. We need proof. We need proof that there's something stronger and more powerful than death and more powerful than evil. Now, imagine what that might do to you. Imagine what knowing that might be like. Try to imagine this. Imagine you go to visit the grave of someone you've loved. Maybe it's a deceased parent. Maybe it's a deceased child or a spouse. Or a brother, or a sister, or a friend. Doesn't matter. You've been there dozens of times before. You know exactly how to get to the tombstone. And you're walking through the cemetery this one time, and you're astonished to discover that where there was once a burial plot, now there's a big hole in the ground. Somebody's dug it completely up, and sitting there over the open chasm, dangling his feet down into the hole, is an angelic young figure in a long white robe. You look at him, he looks at you, and he says, who are you looking for again? Oh, yeah, he's not here anymore. Yeah, he just walked away, actually. Said he'd be waiting for you when you get back home. How different would your life be from that moment forward? How different would everything be from that moment forward? With the resurrection of Christ, you don't have to imagine. That's exactly what did happen. And because the one who came back from the dead is God himself, we take him at his word when he tells us, everyone who lives and believes in me will not die. I will raise him on the last day. And when you see that, everything's different. Would you know that Easter Sunday is the hardest day of the year in which to have to write a homily? Hardest day of the year, because we're talking today about a victory so great and so transformative, you can barely give yourself permission to believe it, much less find a way to put it into words. This is not a victory whereby somebody rights a wrong, or whereby goodness gains a little bit of ground, or whereby something takes something bad and makes it a little bit better. No. Easter means that when all hope was lost, when things couldn't get any worse, when truth himself had been killed, when life himself had been sealed in a tomb, when the last flicker of hope in the whole world was utterly and completely extinguished, that's when God won. And you want to know what? The same God's still on the job. He's still on the job and doing the exact same marvels with it, what appear to be the greatest defeats in all of our lives hundreds of times a day. Once you see that, nothing is ever the same again. God can't be defeated. Goodness can't be destroyed. He is invincible and wants to live and work in you as well. That's what changes everything. You know, there's no resurrection story in the Bible. It's a really interesting fact. We got stories for everything else in the Gospels. We got healing stories. We got miracle stories. We got the story of Jesus' birth in Bethlehem. But there's no resurrection story in the Bible. Only thing you get in the Bible are stories like the one where I just read, where people show up at the tomb of Christ just a little bit too late to see what actually happened. Why do you think that is? Most important fact in all of our faith is that Jesus came back from the dead, and there's no resurrection story. You want to know why? It's because the people who wrote the scriptures saw the risen Lord with their own eyes. They didn't need a story. And they discovered that when they merely tried to tell somebody else what this meant, nobody believed them. Mary Magdalene, for example, she saw the risen Lord with her own eyes. Goes back to tell the apostles, I've seen the Lord. Did the apostles believe her? No. Not until they saw for themselves. The only one who wasn't there was Thomas. So the apostles tell Thomas, Thomas, we've seen the risen Lord. Did doubting Thomas believe them? No. No, he had to see it for himself. That's always the way it is, ladies and gentlemen. Always the way it is. Down through the ages, one generation tells the next. One generation tells the next. Somewhere back along the line, somebody probably told me. But it's insufficient. You have to see it for yourself. Now, you're not going to see it with the eyes of the body. We were all born in the wrong century, right? No fault of your own. But you can see it with the eyes of your soul. And when you do, your life is never the same again. If you know what I'm talking about, I pray that God deepen that Easter faith in your soul beginning right now. Because the way things are going in this world, we need all the invincible hope we can get, right? Right. If you don't know what I'm talking about, my prayer for you is that you will see and understand. Better yet, pray for yourself. Pray that God will show you what it means that Jesus Christ has risen from the dead and given a victory that no darkness can ever defeat. I promise you that is a prayer that will not go unanswered. Mother Teresa of Calcutta once said, "Let no sadness in your life cause you to forget the joy that is Jesus Christ risen from the dead." And if that's foolishness, then let's all be fools. Hear that and believe. believe and act. Amen and alleluia.